your heart. Hope you've been benefited. We'll come back the next time for part two. Until then, God bless and keep is our prayer.
10 a.m., as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, good morning. Pastor Derry here with Missions for Christ International. Our website is missionsforchrist.org. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ to all our fine radio listeners. I pray that everything's going well for you and your family, all your loved ones. Today is May 22nd, 2022. I'd like to invite you to come to my church this morning at 10:30. It's the Tomoka Christian Church on 344 Emerson Drive Northwest in Palm Bay, Florida. We have Sunday worship service at 10:30. You should be able to make it. Or if you can't come to my church, you might find another church. But sure, be sure to go to church someday, sometime this morning, May 22nd, 2022. And remember what I said last week. You have to start doing things that are uncomfortable if you want to make any progress in your life. And so it might be uncomfortable for you to go to church this morning, but that certainly should be the thing that you ought to be doing. You ought to be doing things that are uncomfortable, like going to church when you don't feel like it, when you'd rather stay home and be comfortable. Now, last week I talked to you about what I felt was the most important verse in the Bible as to your purpose in your life, and that was Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. This is where Paul was writing to the Christians at Rome. Let's turn to it again and just read it again. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the 29th verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And you will remember that last week I said that your purpose in life was to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, you are to be Christ-like. If you are a Christian, that is your purpose. That is what you ought to be striving to be. You ought to be someone like Jesus Christ so that when other people see you, they don't really see you. They see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, this is not an easy thing to do. In fact, all of our Christian life, we have to strive to be like Christ. And it's a big challenge. It's a big work. It's a big task. But it is what God wants us to do, because when we're like Christ, we are doing that which is pleasing to God. And that is the purpose for which he made you and I, to be like Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk to you today on just how you can become like Jesus Christ. You know, we're not born like this. In fact, we're born exactly the opposite. We are born very selfish. That's the way we come into this world as little babies. We cry because we want something, and it doesn't take us long to find out that, or our parents to find out, man, we're crying all the time, we want this or we want that. And as we grow up and as we learn to talk, one of the first words that we learn besides mama and papa or daddy is mine, is mine, it belongs to me. So we are born selfish, and God made us this way, and it's necessary for us to be born selfish, because if you're not born selfish, well, you have to take care of yourself first, and if you don't, you're going to die. And so we learn very quickly when we're just little very little, babies, toddlers, to be, that we are very selfish people. And it takes a long, long time for us to grow out of that selfishness, to grow into maturity. And some people just never seem to ever get there. They're selfish all their life. And these are people who are not very comfortable to be around. We don't like selfish people. And other people don't like us when we are selfish. So becoming Christ-like is just exactly the opposite of being selfish or self-like. We are self-centered people. We all are like that. And we have to learn to be unselfish. And that's what it is to be like Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or any person is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Well, you see, we become Christians when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the beginning of our walk, where we start to learn to be like Christ. And even many Christians, though they're Christians, they seem not to learn this. It takes a very long time for many Christians to grow up and to be like Jesus Christ. But as we said last week, that is your purpose in life, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what God wants you to be. And it takes effort on our part. It's uncomfortable to be like Christ. You have to do things that you wouldn't normally do in your formerly selfish life. But once you become a Christian, things are different now. Something's happened to me. Something's happened to you when we put on Christ, when we accept Christ, when we're baptized into Christ, and we start living the Christian life. Now, in order to live the Christian life, you have to know about Jesus. And like I said last week, we learn about Jesus by learning, by reading the Bible, God's Word. And the Bible teaches us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the life of Christ. So that's the beginning place where every new Christian has to start. You have to start reading about Jesus, and then you will graduate, maybe out of kindergarten or out of eighth grade, and then you start reading the letters in the Bible, the New Testament, like the letters of Paul, where we read Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and so on. And we read the Gospel of John, but we also read the letters of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and we read the letters of the Apostle Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. And we read the other letters, and we read the Jude, James and Jude and Revelation. And so this is how we grow in Christ. We have to have the knowledge of Christ, so we get the knowledge by reading God's Word. And we don't stop when we finish the book of Revelation. No, we read it over again, and we go back and we start reading the Old Testament as well, because the Old Testament is so valuable to us. Here we read about all the prophecies of Jesus, and we read about the men and women of God in the Old Testament. We read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We read about the wives of those men and those children of those men and women. And we read about Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And we read about Joshua, Caleb. And we read about the heroes of the Old Testament. And we read about their lives. And we gain so much by reading the Word of God. And as I said in some of my other sermons, you know, if you start reading the Bible and you know what the Bible says, you'll be smarter than 90% of the people that you meet on the street or at work, because 90% of the people are ignorant of God's Word. And you can be the 10% that knows the Word of God, and you could have something that is extremely valuable to you, and you'll be a lot smarter than most of the people that you meet in your daily life. And as you read God's Word, you find some really interesting scriptures where Jesus says, like in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Another verse that says the Bible is perfect, the word of God is perfect. And another verse that says the scriptures cannot be broken. And that's a very interesting scripture. So if your purpose is to be like Christ, the beginning place is God's word. And let me just quote one other scripture for you. It's found in the Gospel of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we see later on in that same chapter, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, that Word is Jesus Christ. He is called the Word of God in the Bible, and in the book of Revelation, he's called the Word of God, and he is called the Word of God. He is called the Son of Man. He is called the Son of God. So this is how you learn about Jesus Christ, your Savior, once you have accepted him, and you are now a Christian. Now you are to be conformed to the image of Christ. That means you're to be like Jesus Christ. It means that when other people are swearing and cussing and using Jesus Christ as a curse word, you're not doing that. You're thinking, well, that's not right. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use Jesus Christ as a cuss word. Or I'm not going to use God as a cuss word. I'm not going to be like other people. I want to be like Christ. That's what should be your desire, to be like Jesus. And you're not going to tell the dirty stories and the dirty jokes that other people tell. And you're not going to laugh at them either. I remember when I was a young preacher, I went to the barber shop to get a haircut. And the barber shop was a gathering place in this small town where, you know, everybody gathered around. And all the men gossiped. The men are just as bad gossip as women, but anyway. And the barber, he was a member of the church where I was the minister. And so he wanted to be liked by everybody there. And so he told a very dirty joke about a minister. And I thought, oh no. And I realized here was a member of my church who was not trying to be like Christ at all. And where you are telling dirty jokes, and if your language betrays you, people listen to you just like the people listen to Peter, and they said, oh, Peter, your speech betrays you. You must be a Galilean because we can tell by the way you talk. Well, you know, people can tell the way you talk. Man, if I'm with a person just a few minutes and we're talking, we're holding a conversation, I will know almost immediately if that person is a brother or sister in Christ or if that person is lost just by the way they talk. And you will too. People will know who you are by the way you conduct yourself, by the language you use. And I knew one man of an organization where I was an employee, and this man, he couldn't talk without swearing. After a while, you didn't want to listen to him anymore because his language was so bad. And he thought of himself as being a Christian, and his religion was very important to him, but it certainly didn't show up in his speech. Now, as I said, this is a lifelong process of becoming like Christ or developing a Christ-like character, a Christ-like life. And I've been a Christian for a long time, but I still have times when I'm not like Christ at all, and I get angry, and maybe I say things I shouldn't say, and I realize, man, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said what I said. And so I ask God's forgiveness, but I still have to work on this, even though I've been a Christian for over, I guess, 70 years now, a long time. And I'm still working on being like Christ. Now then, let's look at the life of Jesus and see what he was like, because if we want to be like him, we have to know what he was like. And as I said, we find out what he was like by reading the Word of God. But let's look at some of the scriptures then. Now you have to realize that Satan is your enemy, and he's going to do everything he can to get you to revert to your old selfish nature. And I do that, even though I'm a minister. This is how a minister can do wrong. In other words, I would love to be a minister of a large congregation. Oh, I could see myself in the center there, the pulpit, and have all these people listening to me. You see how that is selfish? Oh, well, wow. You mean I envy other preachers who have these large congregations? Am I jealous? Well, these are not good things at all. These are not Christ-like characteristics. And so he attacks me every day, just like he attacks you. And he's going to put things in your life that are going to prevent you. He does not want you to be like Christ. That's the worst thing that could happen as far as Satan is concerned. He does not want me to be like Christ. And so we have to understand, every day we've got this battle going on. We wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual forces in heavenly places. This is what this says in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, where we're to put on the armor of God, because we are wrestling against Satan, this demonic forces, and it actually says heavenly places. Wow. So being like Christ is a battle every day. You got to fight to do it. You got to know what the Word of God says, and then you got to put it into your life, and then you have to do it. Now, that's what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Many people forget what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And in the 7th chapter of Matthew, he concludes his sermon by saying, "Whosoever shall hear these words of mine and does not do them is like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the winds came, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and the house upon the sand fell. But whosoever hear these words of mine and does them," that's the key word, doing the word of Christ, "whosoever heareth these words of mine and does them shall be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the winds came, and the flood came, and the rock, and the house on the rock stood firm, because it was established on the rock, and that rock firm foundation is Jesus Christ." So you not only have to read the words of God, you have to do them in order to be like Christ. Now I said I want to tell you how you can be like Christ. Robert Morris, a man who's a minister, who I admire him greatly, especially because he's got such a big congregation, but he's a good preacher. But anyway, he said, "We are most like God when we are giving." And we said last week, remember, Christianity is the opposite of the world. In the world, everyone is trying to get more money, get more houses, get more wives, get more spouses, get more land, get more gold, get more, it's all get. Christianity is the exact opposite. It is give. Now, read the most famous verse in the Bible, and that would be in the Gospel of John, and you've heard it, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave..." Oh, we're going to stop right there. What do you mean? God so loved the world that he gave? You see, our God is a giving God. Our Christ is a giving Christ. You look at the life of Jesus Christ, and you're going to see him giving. The Bible says, Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now that's in the Gospels, you can find it. All right. And we see that when he washed the disciples' feet, as I talked about last week, he was giving. He said, do you know what I've done for you? If I'm your master and I have washed your feet, that was the work of a servant. That's what servants do. That's why Peter said, you will never wash my feet, because Peter saw Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. He could not consider him as a servant. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part in me. And you know what? Jesus has to wash us. And he washes us by the water of the Word, by baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. I'm not making this up. I hope that everything I say is backed by Scripture. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's Acts 2:38. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We said last week, you cannot possibly be conformed to Christ or live the life of Christ without the Holy Spirit. It cannot be done. You must have God's help. And God gives you the Holy Spirit in John, the 16th chapter, 15, 16, 17. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it's necessary for me to go away. For if I don't go away, I won't be able to send the Holy Spirit to you. But if I go, I will send the Comforter, which is another name for the Holy Spirit. I will send the Comforter to you. And when he has come, he will guide you in all the truth. And so we need this Holy Spirit to live the life of Christ. Now, when you look at the life of Christ, you see that is a life of giving. Let me read another scripture for you. Now, if we are going to be like Christ, we have to have the mind of Christ. Now, here's a scripture that I'm reading from Philippians, the second chapter, and it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, Paul is writing this. Let me explain what Paul means here when Jesus says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All through the scriptures, we understand that Jesus Christ is God. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And here we see we have to have the mind of Christ. And it says, who being in the form of God, that is Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, it would not be robbery. It would not be stealing from God if you are God yourself. And that's what Jesus is. So it's not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. Go back to the Old Testament. This is another reason why you should read the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, when God decided he was going to make man, he said, let us make man in our image. And the word for God in the Old Testament is Elohim. It ends in the Hebrew, H-I-M, or Hebrew alphabet, Hirik Yod Mem. And that is plural. It's not singular. The H-I-M ending in Hebrew is always plural. And so when God, or God's Elohim, God's plural, said, let us make man in our image, who is he talking about? Well, it's God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now this Old Testament verse brings light on this New Testament verse. And this is what happens when you read the Old Testament. You are beginning to see the New Testament in a new light, a different light. It's not a different light, but a new light. Things in the New Testament now become more clear to you when you read the prophecies and the words of the Old Testament, and you see how God puts everything together. And so here is the scripture again. But who let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have to have the mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was equal with God. He is God. Okay. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, as and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but whether you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, there's going to be a day when you will confess the name of Jesus Christ. And that's at the end of the world, the rapture, when Jesus returns to judge the world, judge you and me, and every knee shall bow and every knee shall confess. But you know what Jesus said about confessing his name in Matthew 10:34-35? He said, whosoever shall confess me before him, before men, will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now you see, this is why we need to confess Jesus Christ. And before a person is baptized, we always ask them to confess the name of Jesus Christ. We say, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And they say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that's a confession that needs to be made before a person is baptized. And that's what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember when he was on his way back from Jerusalem, back to Ethiopia? Philip ran and joined him in the chariot. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. He didn't know what he was reading. And so Philip started from that very scripture and preached to him Jesus Christ. And the Ethiopian eunuch, he believed. And they came to water, and he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you may be baptized. So they stopped the chariot. They went down in the water. Philip baptized him. You see, that was the confession that was made before every person is baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, I'm aware that the 38th verse there is not in the original scriptures, where Peter said, if you believe, where he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But it was added. And why was it added? Because the writers knew that's what was being said. They knew this is what was happening. They knew that before a person is baptized, they're always asked to confess their faith in Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 10:34-35. Whoops, made a mistake. It's Matthew 10:32-33. And the scripture about the Ethiopian eunuch, that's in Acts 8. You can read it there. Okay, I'm out of time. Be like Christ. Be like Jesus. Work at it. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message today. God bless you. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to a church this morning, the Tomoka Christian Church, and 344 Emerson Drive Northwest. Palm Bay, Florida. Look for you there. Pastor Gary here. We'll talk to you later. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Whatever. in this season. Please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You gotta tell them for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Woo! Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say it. You gotta tell them for yourself.
Don't do it without me.
Come on, say it like you mean it. If you need a healing, just say,
Lord,
if you healing
in this
season, please
don't do it without me.
No, 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 no.
Don't do it without me.
I don't care what the sickness is.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
There's nobody like Jesus. There's nothing like his plan for my life. There's nothing like the words that he's spoken over me.
Oh. There's nobody like Jesus.
There's nothing like the love that he shows. Nothing like his grace and his mercy. I am so grateful. Nobody like Jesus. Yeah.
There's nobody like Jesus.
No, no, there's nobody quite like Jesus. Nobody that can save me like he can. That can heal my body, raise me from the dead.
Searched all over the world. I can't find anybody
can't
like
find
Jesus.
Nobody.
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 No.
No, 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 no.
There's nobody like Jesus.
And nobody can save me like
no, no, no,
me.
Nobody like Jesus.
Nobody can raise me like
nobody
me.
Like Jesus.
Oh, you wouldn't serve a
nobody
God
like
Jesus.
There's nothing like
oh,
yeah.
There's nothing like
the God they call
Buddha.
Just thinking about who God is and that he's forever faithful, that means he cannot lie. That means that whatever he says is going to come to pass. So whatever promise God has made to you, we want to encourage you that he's going to do it just like he said he would.
Just like
special movie. Crucial point in time. All across the globe. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
This feel good.
Yeah. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Uh-huh.
This history in the making. Barack Obama. Obama. When it talks about recession, depression, fam ain't stressing. I'm just trying to know. Yeah, for real.
Everything's gone. Here's my shoulder for you to lean on. I'm here to let you know that we in this together. Even the worst weather is bound to get better. Some people say never, never say never. It will take some time, but nothing takes forever. Keep your head up, you have a reason to live. Didn't think that you would make it out alive, but you did. You're still here to see another year. After all that you've been through, you still persevere. Divided we fall, together we stand. Cause unified, we all have a better chance. It's a new beginning, life has just begun. I'm on the outside looking in, but I can see the sun.
Hold on, no matter how long it takes you. Son of the day, we can have a breakthrough. We can't give up, we got to hold on. And give the faith and stay strong. Just hold on. No matter how long it takes you. Son of the day, we can have a breakthrough. We can't give up, we got to hold on. And give the faith and stay strong. Just hold on.
So many questions.